Way. It's so great to have Alexis back this morning.
Yes, hey.
Alexis and Glenn, great
yes.
job. Give them a good
Thank
hand.
You all.
Appreciate them very, very much.
Yes.
And the way they blessed us this morning, that was amazing.
So good.
It's good to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it, honey?
It is. It's so good. And it's good to worship.
Yes.
Isn't that good to worship? So good to worship. It just really sets it opens the doors, you know, for
That's
us
right.
as we position ourselves rightly before the Lord
That's
as we
right.
worship him.
There's something about, we're going to talk about that this morning, in fact.
Wow,
there's something about when God's people gather in worship that's really, really powerful and can't really be duplicated in any other setting.
Right. He's in the midst
it's
of
It's really
us.
Powerful. That's
right.
exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this morning, we're going to welcome, by the way, those of you who are tuning in.
Yes.
So happy to have you joining us this morning. We're going to receive our offering today. Our tithe, we give a tithe, that's a tenth of all that we make, right? That's what the Bible teaches. That goes to the storehouse to meet the needs of the storehouse. And then above and beyond that, we give offerings to literally reach out all over this world with the good news of Jesus Christ. And there's an easy way to give through PushPay. If you'd like to give right over your phone, you can do it in just seconds. It's so easy. And I want to thank all of you for your faithful giving
yes.
to God. It's making a difference, believe me, and it's such a powerful thing that we demonstrate our love to him through our faithful, consistent giving. We have what we call the Harvest Project, and I see Jose and Marissa back here today.
Yes.
Give them a good hand.
Hey,
and
guys.
Their little one. We're so proud of them. Jose, stand up real quick and tell us where you guys are going this summer. This coming summer. Shout it out real loud. What you know the countries you guys are heading to? I think you just found out.
Egypt.
Ukraine.
Cool.
Okay. And Mexico. Wonderful.
And Albania.
That's
Isn't that
great.
Awesome? So the gospel
yes,
being preached. Give the Lord praise for
yes,
that. The gospel being
right.
preached in those nations. That's exciting. Hey, our Harvest Project goal for 2020 was $45,000. And we made our goal and we're building on it.
That's right.
We
Isn't
are
great?
Building on it. And what a great thing that is. I just love it. And we're going to be able to give a special Christmas blessing to all of our missionaries and do some other special things to reach and touch people. That's going to
oh
be pretty
goodness,
cool.
Yes, and that is such a miracle.
Yeah, it is
a miracle.
Especially in the year of COVID, right?
I know it. The it's Lord still moves and
one
works.
One of those unexpected blessings
exactly
that you just
right.
go, thank you, Lord.
That's
thank
the
you,
Lord's
Lord.
Heart.
So let's pray over our offering. Amen. Father, thank you for the opportunity to give. Bless the gift and the giver. And Lord, let this church be radically generous in seeing the gospel that changes hearts and lives. We are not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe. And may we see it, Lord, spread across this city and around this world for your glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. God bless you as you give this morning. Hey, we get to do something really special this morning.
Oh my goodness, we haven't done it in a while either. So
I know,
that's exciting.
Right. It's our first in the year of COVID.
That's right.
I think.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's just been so thrown off. So one of my favorite things to do, for sure.
Yes, you do. You love
we
it.
We get to do a baby dedication.
That's right.
Can you give the Lord praise for
We're
that?
Excited.
Isn't that cool? Come on up, Cody and Heather, and bring those blessed little ones that God has
oh,
given you.
Oh, we love them.
And we are going to pray over these guys, and it's going to be great. I think you and I are going to switch places.
Okay.
And you have everything you need, right? Let's see.
I don't know if we should switch or not. I'm over here, like, crossing over you and stuff.
We're going to get these guys right on. Come on up, guys. You can just come right up here.
Hey.
And this is exciting for us. I don't know of really any better parents out there than these two, Cody and Heather Tyler. We're so blessed to be able to have this privilege today to dedicate Kinston Alexander Tyler
yes.
to the Lord. Isn't that awesome? Can you give the Lord praise? That is so cool. That is so cool that we get to do that today. We got a cool little New Testament for Kinston. And we've got a certificate. We're going to pray over him. And I just love it. I love it, love it, love it. So let me read you a passage from the Bible, and then I want to ask you guys a couple of questions. In Mark chapter 10, there's this really neat scene in Jesus' life and ministry that highlights just how much these little ones mean to him. And anything that means a lot to Jesus should mean a lot to us and ought to be an absolute priority. And some of you might say, well, you don't sprinkle little ones? No, we dedicate little ones to Christ because Jesus made a practice of putting his hands on and praying over little ones that God would bless them. And I want to read you that passage this morning out of Mark 10. It says, then they brought little children to him, this is to Jesus, that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. The disciples, they got it mixed up again. Those poor disciples, a lot like us at times. And but when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Whoops, there went a shoe. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. Here's one of the things I always would love to have just somehow glimpsed, you know. What did those little ones become for the glory of God? Jesus touching them, praying over them. That's what we're asking Jesus to do today for Kinston, that he will lay his hands literally through us on this young man.
Yes.
And bless him from this day forward for the glory of God. That's exciting stuff, really exciting stuff. Let's sit this down for a little bit. All right, I want to ask you guys a couple of questions. And I understand we have family and friends viewing from afar. Thank you for joining us. You're an important part of this today for Cody and Heather. So I want to ask Cody and Heather, will you do your very best in the presence of God, day in and day out, to set an example for young Kinston to follow Christ with all of his heart? If you guys would you nod your heads? And yes, amen, amen. And I want to ask those that are here, would you stand, by the way, if you would support and pray for and just be a part? And those who are watching, I hope you're in agreement with us too, because we're all a part through prayer, through support, through encouragement. And it's a wonderful thing to be a part of the body of Christ. This is one of the blessings, for sure. We get to be a part of helping young ones like this young man rise up and be great and mighty in God. So, honey, would you anoint? Let's see. Let's get the oil and let's anoint.
I've got it already.
You've already anointed Kinston?
No. I've got the oil already.
Yes, I see that.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to anoint him. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. I know, buddy. Right? Right? That's kind of messy, but you know, it's really good. It's really good. Yeah. You want to feel it? You want to feel it there, buddy? Yeah. You're pretty good. You might even give me five, right? I like it. All right, we're going to pray together. Everybody stretch your hands out, even those of you who are at home. Stretch your hands out. We're going to pray over this young man. Lord, we thank you for Kinston, Alexander, Tyler. We thank you that from this day forward, there's just going to be an absolute special blessing of the Lord upon this young man's life. We pray over Cody and Heather that they will have a strong anointing, Lord. You've called them to be this young man's parents. That is a calling from you, and there is a gifting that accompanies that. That they are the ones who are most appropriately blessed to be able to pour into this young man's heart and life, that he would become the young man, the man that you've called him to be, that he would make a difference in this world for your glory. Lord, would you guide and direct his steps? Would you bless and anoint him? Would you watch over and protect him? And would his life bring great glory and honor to you, Jesus? And Lord, thank you for Kinston, Alexander, Tyler, and thank you for this beautiful family. Thank you for this older brother who's going to do his part too. And thank you for friends and family and a church family. We all just feel blessed to be a part of helping this young man know and become who God's called him to be. And we thank you for that in Jesus' strong name. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Can you give the Lord praise this morning? Love you guys very much. Here is a certificate. I think it even has Kinston's picture on it. And a nice little Bible. And hey, buddy, good to see you, man. All right. Very good. Give him another hand, guys. Love you all very much. All right. Well, we're excited about all that God's doing. This Wednesday night's our final Wednesday night, big small group, we call it, kind of the big small group. And none other than Pam Scherger is going to be sharing this Wednesday night. You need to come out and be a part
about
of that.
Gratefulness.
The importance of gratitude.
Yes.
just getting our hearts primed for Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. That's going to be special. 6 o'clock, a light meal. 6:30, teaching. And then after the teaching, some small group time. It's really good. And then next week, tell us a little bit about this, honey. Next Sunday.
Well, next Sunday, we are going to practice being grateful. And so I love it. It's one of the only services where we hear from you all about what has God done for you this year that you could be grateful. And you know, it's really powerful. I know that some people have a hard time getting up and saying something, but I will tell you, there's something about that. I feel like it's spiritual warfare to be able to stand up in the midst of COVID and praise God. Mm. It also encourages us to hear what God is doing in you. Mm. You know, there's something about that, and that is so good, and that just punches the devil in the face. I really like punching him in the face, honestly.
I
do.
Yeah,
I kick his butt. Can I say that?
Yeah.
Anyway, we are going to do that together because I feel like we need to, because the enemy has stolen so much from us, or he's tried. You know, if we can figure, you know, Lord, show me where I can worship you and really give you thanks, and because the devil isn't going to steal from me.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to stand up and just give God the glory. And it's interesting, isn't it? Because it really changes, I feel like, it changes us. Mm. It may not change our situation, but it changes us.
Yeah.
Because the Lord is really interested about changing us
from
the inside out.
He sure is.
And I think it's really important to be able to do that. So please come next week ready to give thanks to the Lord.
Right.
And it doesn't matter how big or small. It's
just 1 minute.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just 1 minute, because we want
for people
a lot
like
of folks
me
to be able to go.
Just talk and talk.
I'll have the timer on you, honey.
I know,
I mean,
if you need to,
you know, I'll have to
pull
do that.
Me off the...
But, you know, come prepared. Right. We want to tell you, because it's one of the highlight services of the year. People talk about it all year long. Wow, the testimonies. And your testimony is going to encourage someone else.
That's right. It's powerful.
And somebody else's testimony is going to encourage you.
Yes.
So just come prepared, and we're going to make it as safe as we possibly can with the microphones and everything. Yeah. And it's going to be a really wonderful Sunday before Thanksgiving, where we're just full of thanks to God.
That's
amen.
Right. That's
thank
right.
you, honey, for being a part today. Hey, just a quick little funny thing. I love to show little memes that are kind of funny. This one caught my attention. This one's called Theological Distinctions Matter. So check it out. Look closely. So the top one, Baptists eating Oreos. And we're four square, but we'd be more closely aligned to Baptists. So this is Baptists eating Oreos. You'll notice the wonderful Oreo. How many of you are thankful to God for Oreos? You know, amen. And, you know, dunking that Oreo in that cold milk, man, is that ever good? But then Presbyterians, you know, having to sprinkle the Oreo with the milk. Anyway, all right, theological distinctions matter. Hey, by the way, there is a retro movie night for our youth coming up. And I think I got my slides out of order. November 21st. So, young people, keep that in mind. Amen. We're going to do part 3 today in a series we've been calling Living in Victory. And I've wanted to give you these 3 weeks leading up to Thanksgiving, three, kind of a strategic plan for victory. Sometimes it's really good to have a strategic plan. How am I going to walk out these difficult days? These have been challenging, trying days for many, many, many of us. But I absolutely believe this. I believe one thing that has not changed is the heart of God toward you and his heart to see you walk in victory. So, three things I've just tried to bring to you, and today will be the final in this series, that I think will really help you get to that place of victory. So, this morning, in part 3, I want to just encourage you, because this is such a big deal right now. Well, you know what? Let's pray first. Let's pray. I feel just the prompting to pray over so that we'll be ready to receive God's word today. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes with me? Lord, these are holy moments. These are always holy moments when we're gathered in your name and in your presence. Lord, there's opportunity for your word to come alive. There's opportunity for your word to change, for your word to come, as we talked about last week, and separate soul from spirit so that we might discern what is of our flesh and our soul and what is of God, and might be able to grab on to those things that you are leading us into, that we might learn to live by the power of your Spirit. So Lord, speak to us today through your word in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. And everybody said amen. Amen. All right. Got to hear you guys. You got to say it loud. Amen. This morning, I want to talk about the importance, and this is timely. And this is a word we all need to hear and be reminded of in these days. Because, you know, whenever you go through a crisis or a challenge, God's at work, but so's the enemy. God has a plan, and so does the enemy. And I really believe, I've kind of had it up to here with hearing church growth people out there, church, consultant type people saying, the days of gathering together as a church, they're kind of over. And that we're going to need to live into a new reality, that things are not going to return to what they were. Now, there may be an element of that that's true. And there's always a need. Listen to me. Don't mistake what I'm saying here. There's always a need to lean in and listen and look for the new things God's doing. What are the new burning bushes? Where's God speaking to us? Where's He leading us? Absolutely. I believe we need to be doing that. I believe we need to be building up and encouraging people in an online presence. But here's what I want to say today, and I say it with great passion and great conviction. And by the way, if you don't live by conviction, you will settle for convenience almost every time. You must learn to live by conviction. And conviction, for me, it comes from God's word. It comes from a settled argument in God's word, that God makes his case clear, that it's on his heart. Those are the things. A conviction is a lot different than an opinion. We all have opinions, like we all have noses, right? I mean, and your opinion and my opinion, and we get together and toss around opinions. But I'm talking about convictions. Those things that you believe are so firmly rooted in God's heart, in God's truth, in God's word, that honestly, you lay your life down for it. And I want to say today that going to church, being the church, gathering as the church, is an absolute, for me, conviction, because I believe it's absolutely biblical. Now, when you can't come, and some of you can't come for legitimate reasons, and I understand that, and I'm empathetic toward that, and I want to encourage you to keep tuning in until you're able to come. Please do that. But when you can come to church, come. Okay, and we'll do our best to keep you safe. We're still taking temperatures. We're still distancing. We're still encouraging mask wearing and all those things. When you can come to church, come. And I want to answer the question this morning, why should we make the effort to come to church if we can stay at home in our PJs and comfortably watch church over our big screen TV while sipping a delicious cup of frou-frou coffee in our slippers, on our couch, comfortable? Why come to church if you can do that? And honestly, I've heard some people saying, I don't know if I'll come back to church. I'm not sure if I will or not. I kind of like sitting in my PJs, not having to get up and get ready and all this kind of stuff. I want to tell you this morning three things from God's word that I think absolutely call us to coming to church. First, let me start out with a little bit of something fun. I heard about a guy who got up one Sunday morning and he told his wife, he told her emphatically, he said, honey, I'm not going to church today, and I've got three reasons. Number one, I don't like the building. I've never liked the building. Number two, I don't like the people. And number three, the people, they just don't seem to even like me. I mean, they just kind of stare at me weird, you know? And she shot back real quick, the wife did, and said, buddy, let me tell you this. I got three reasons why you are going to church today. Number one, I got up early this morning, got all ready, and I'm ready to go. Number two, I got all the kids up, got them all ready, and they're ready to go. And number three, you're the pastor, and people are expecting you to be there. So get up, get moving. You're going to church today. What happens, though, if the pastor comes and the people don't? Because the trend before COVID was already moving toward less and less people attending church. And I think to our own demise, do we ignore God's instruction to gather together? This is a conviction for me. I will not stop talking about and preaching about the reasons in God's heart for us to come together. Let me show you some disturbing statistics from an article that I shared with my staff this week. This is a recent study done by Tony Morgan's group called Unstuck of several hundred churches and churches of varying sizes. In fact, it's probably a study that was skewed a little bit toward even the larger churches in our nation. 36% is the average in-person attendance for reopened churches. A lot of pastors have been very, very disappointed and discouraged because they have gone to the trouble of reopening and then people haven't shown up. And there is, as I just mentioned a moment ago, just that sense that are people coming back? Are people coming back? This is a disturbing one. 41%, the percentage of Generation Z who primarily prefer physical gatherings post-COVID, 41%. Do you know what that means? 59% are saying, you know what, I can just do it digitally. That's the majority. That's really, really sad. That ought to make every single one of us here in this room go, I need to find ways to build friendships with and connect with young people. Because I'm telling you, young people are they're the not just the future of the church, they're the present of the church. And they need to feel welcomed, they need to feel wanted, they need to feel valued. Young people, you are valued and wanted here at New Song, I can tell you that. And Tracy and I'll do everything in our power to set the table and welcome you and make you feel a part and give you roles, you responsibilities, whatever God's calling you to. We want to champion you. 42% of millennials say they prefer primarily in-person worship. Again, same thing, just 1% difference between Gen Z and millennials. But that means 58% would rather just stay home and watch it on TV. 71% of the older generation, I'm right on the line, by the way, of Gen X and Boomer. So if you study the generations, but 71% of Boomers, they want to come back. They want to come back. And that was kind of one of the shocking things for a lot of pastors, I think, that even in the midst of the scare of potentially a disease, a pandemic, more of the older people came back than the younger necessarily. These things ought to concern us. We ought to be praying about how do we make church, once again, such a welcoming place and a place where young people really feel valued. So number one reason that you should go to church is God's presence. Number one reason is God's presence. I understand, okay, in the Bible teaches us that God is omnipresent. Okay, big word, all present, omnipresent. In other words, he's everywhere all the time. Psalm 139 talks about this. Where could I go from God's presence? If I flee to here, he's there. If I go over here, he's there. Then there's also, the word talks about Christ living in us, his inner presence. The fact that when we receive Christ, he comes to live in us through his precious and powerful Holy Spirit. But then the Bible also teaches this third concept that's so incredibly powerful and you've got to get your mind around and your heart around, and it's his manifest presence. It's God's manifest presence. It's that presence that happened when Solomon was dedicating the temple, and it literally says the Shekinah glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle of God so thick that the priests, they fell down in the presence of God. It's like his cloud, his presence just comes when his people gather with a heart to worship. It's his manifest presence. Let me put it this way, and maybe you've never heard it said this way before, but sometimes God's in one place more than another. It's not that he's not there everywhere, he is. But let me tell you, when you worship him truly with your whole heart, there's a sense of his presence becoming so real, so tangible that you can literally feel him. in the place. How many of you can say amen to that? Let me show you some scriptures on what I'm saying, what I'm teaching here this morning. God says in the Old Testament, build a tabernacle. This is the tabernacle of Moses. And you're to build it upon what you've seen, what I've shown you that heaven is like. And in Exodus 25:8, it says, and let them make me a sanctuary, a place that I may dwell among them. Exodus 25:22, and there I will meet with you, and I'll speak with you from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubim, which are on the ark of testimony. Listen, that's Old Testament. I realize that, but Jesus confirms this in the New Testament, that God's presence is one of the primary reasons we absolutely need to fight for gathering together. When you can't come, I understand, watch. But when you can come, come. We need you, you need us, and most of all, we need God's presence in our lives. Matthew 18:20, for where two or three are gathered together in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, he's there in the midst of them. I bet every one of you can remember some worship services where you experienced God move in a more real and powerful way than anywhere or anytime else. I bet you can. I certainly can. Times where God's presence was so thick in the house, where God was moving in such a powerful way. Early on, it was his conviction coming to my heart, realizing how much I needed him in my life, how much I needed his forgiveness and love. Later on, it was encounters with his power, where I began to realize how powerful and awesome God was. Then encounters with his love. I've had all kinds of encounters with God in the house of God among his people. When we come together in his name and truly worship him, his presence becomes strong in our midst. It's one of the reasons this church is named New Song. Because when we sing a new song to the Lord, when we make worship the encounter with God it's supposed to be, when we come together and we really pour our hearts out to him, his presence comes. When the children of Israel were traveling through the wilderness, God says to Moses, I'll send my angel before you, but I'm not going with you. And God had become really frustrated with the children of Israel, but Moses says something back to God in Exodus 33. He says to him, if your presence, God, does not go up with us, just don't even bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except that you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. In other words, Moses is saying, it's your presence, God, that makes us different from anybody else on the face of this earth. It's God's presence. God's presence is what separates his people. God's presence is what convicts the human heart of the need for God. The most evangelistic thing we can do, I believe, is come together and truly worship God with all of our hearts. Corinthians talks about this. An unbeliever will come in and they'll be convinced that God is among you. That when we worship, we set the table for people to encounter God in our midst. It's what separates the church from every club and every different kind of gathering in this world. This is a powerful principle. That's why church is different than the Lions Club. It's why church is different than the Women's Club. It's why church is different than the YMCA, even though it had a Christian background. Listen, church is when the Lion of the Tribe of Judah comes into our midst. The presence of God is strong when we come together and we truly worship. And sometimes that can be missed a little bit in these days of having to be so physically distanced. But let me remind you, God is still here. And God is still working. And you can still encounter him. I've seen people come here and literally just weep and weep and weep because of the precious presence of God that they experienced when they worshiped God. It's been some of those highlight moments for me over the years where new people coming into our midst hey, I'll go say hi to them and greet them and introduce myself, and they'll just be weeping, and they'll just say something that, you know, I really felt God here today. And it's amazing what happens when people encounter the presence of God. We need to go to church because God's presence is there in a special way, His manifest presence. Number two, we need to go to church because God's power is there. Because God's power is there. Back to Matthew 18, again I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm there in the midst of them. That word for, it can also be translated because. Because. Because where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm there in the midst of them. My power is there. My presence is there. I am right there with you in the midst of you. That ought to do it, folks. That ought to be the closing argument. That ought to be all we need. That if we gather, He shows up. That ought to be enough. That ought to be convincing enough. And let me tell you, our younger generations, I know that one of the things they're seeking for is a real and authentic encounter with God. Come to church, young people, because that's where it happens. It's not likely to happen just watching it over YouTube. It's just not likely to happen. But it's likely to happen when you come together with a worshiping body of believers who want you to come, who want you to be a part, who want you to experience God's presence. When I grew up, I gave my heart to Christ at 15. Man, I quickly fell into the pattern, right, of that day and time. We went to church three times a week. All right, see if you can help me out here. I went Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And also probably Tuesday night witnessing and, you know, Sunday afternoon Bible training. You know, it was a bunch of church. It was awesome, though. And as a young person coming into Christ and learning how to grow, it taught me a lot. It was powerful. We come to church because God promises to show up. I think we need to look and just be honest with ourselves about what the entertainment culture has done to our church culture. I go to Nicaragua and other third world countries, and one of the things I find is that in the poor barrios, people show up for church. And you may not like the reasoning I'm going to use here, but they don't have a lot of other places to go. And they don't have the ability to go a lot of other places, either way. But they can go to church. And some of the most grateful and some of the most joyful people I've ever met have been in third world countries where, quite honestly, they're not running to the new restaurant. They're not running to the mall. They're not running to the movie theater. They go to church and they worship God and they're thankful and grateful to God. And I've seen so many people who have so much less than the average American, but have so much more when it comes to thankfulness and gratefulness and joy in their lives. It's often a quandary. You shake your head and you go, wow, how is this? Well, it's because in many ways, entertainment culture, convenience, has trumped that one thing that you and I desperately, desperately need. We were designed and created to worship God. When we are putting ourselves in the context to worship Him, we're in the right place, doing the right thing, with the right people. And let me tell you, the right results come. Amen? God's power is found, guess where? Among God's people. Among God's people. Look at this verse. I love this verse out of Deuteronomy 32. How could one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight? Let me tell you, when God's people come together in heartfelt, real unity, God's power manifests. God begins to do things that only God can do. It's the power of God, folks. Sometimes people have a difficult time committing to a church. A lot of people are, let me just use an analogy, they're like bullfrogs or butterflies. That's the way a lot of people are today. Butterflies, they just kind of flit around from one church to another. They'll light and then they'll light over here and then they'll come over here and a slight breeze will cause them to go over here. But bullfrogs, it's an interesting thing with a bullfrog, right? He's sitting on the lily pad, right? He's hanging out. He might stay there for quite some time. He hardly moves until someone or something touches him, and then he jumps. Until someone or something gets close enough to him that it disturbs him, and he doesn't want to really be known. He doesn't want to really have relationship. He doesn't want to really have accountability. So he jumps to the next lily pad. We need to stop acting like bullfrogs and butterflies, folks. We need to be committed. Some people view church like a restaurant. What are you in the mood for this week? Would you like New Song or New Life or Southeast or Sojourn or Evangel? What sounds best to you today? What's your palate telling you? Well, who's speaking? You know, I always love that. Who's speaking? You know, and I'll ask people at times who visit. What's your home church? Well, we don't really have a home church. Let me just say, there's a problem there. There is absolutely a problem there. If you don't have a home church and you're not committed to a home church, and if you're even visiting here today and you should be at your home church, go back to your home church. This isn't about trying to wrangle people into, you know, our flock versus that flock or this church versus that church. We need to get over that kind of stuff. People need to have a home church, a place where they're rooted, a place where they are grounded, because you are absolutely missing out on what God designed church to be if you're jumping from one to the other or flitting from one to the other. You're supposed to be planted in the house of the Lord. Look at Psalm 92. It says, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. Did you notice, and by the way, I love it, right? Because, you know, we preachers, we love 3 points, right? 3-point sermons. Did you notice God had 3 points and they're all F's? I like it. Flourish, fruit, and fresh. That makes a good sermon right there, 3 points. One young pastor, he was kind of growing in ministry, and he was speaking to an older pastor, and he said, how many points should a good sermon have? And the old pastor stopped and thought for a minute, and he goes, at least one. At least 1 point. I don't know if you've ever been in a sermon where it was kind of pointless, right? They just kind of wandered all around. Flourish, fruit, and fresh. Listen, by God's grace, I want to be a really old guy, you know, making my way around here. I might have a case, but still fresh, fruitful, and flourishing in the house of God. Somebody else will be the pastor, but I'll just be here as an encouragement on that front row, worshiping God and doing everything I can to support and bless. Because I believe we need to be rooted and grounded in God's house, planted in His house. I've seen so many lives changed here in this church, and it just absolutely touches me, and it just absolutely blesses me to think about the things that God has done here. Can I tell you a quick story that just happened 2 weeks ago? I was in the middle of studying and preparing, and I got a phone call. And I looked down at my phone, and it was the name of a young lady that I hadn't spoken to in maybe 15 years. I knew where she was. I kind of knew what was going on with her life, but the path that the Lord had for her, we just haven't crossed paths much. But when I saw her name, I thought, boy, I got to take this call. So I answered it quickly, and her name's Kim, and she's on the other line, and she says, oh, Pastor Jeff, it is so good to hear your voice. I said, it's so good to hear yours too, Kim. Thanks for calling today. She said, I just had to call and tell you the rest of a testimony that you didn't know. And I said, what's that? She said, I had some folks over to my house the other night, and I said to them, did I ever tell you the time about the time that I came to church absolutely smashed drunk? And her friends looked at her and said, no, you've never told us that one, but we'd love to hear it. We'd love to hear that story. She said, well, you know, I'd started going to this little church that was meeting in the pastor and his wife's home, Jeff and Tracy Lamont. And she said, You know, I knew I needed to be at church. I just knew I needed to be at church. But I was having some really hard times in my life. I was going through some difficult times. And she said, I got up that morning and I started drinking heavy. And I just gotten smashed, but I knew I needed to go to church. So I drove up to church, and first person that saw me was Pastor Jeff. And he came out the door and he waved and he said, hey, Kimmy, how you doing? Welcome to church. And she said, you know, when he got a little closer to me, I think he realized, you know, that I was three sheets to the wind. So he said, Kim, come right over here and sit in this car for a minute. And I'll never forget, Pastor Jeff, you went and got Miss Tracy and you went and got Miss Jen, and they came and just started praying for me in the spirit in that car. And my wife will later confess that she had no clue what to do except pray in the spirit. So they're praying in the spirit over Kim, and they kind of come to a kind of a close, you know. They've kind of prayed out, and Tracy's kind of looking around. She goes, let's pray in the spirit again, you know. So they just pray in the spirit again. And do you know what? They prayed until Kim became sober. And now here's the part of the testimony I didn't know until she just told me just 2 weeks ago. She said, Pastor Jeff, you know, I grew up buck wild. And I'd been abused and I'd gone through lots of tough stuff. And I was a heavy drinker. She said, but the thing you didn't know is I have never, ever had another drop of alcohol in my life since that night over 20 years ago. Never another drop. Can you give the Lord praise for that? God's power moves through God's people. That's number three, in fact, is God's people. God's presence comes when God's people gather, and God's power moves through his people. Some people will say, you know, just kind of crazy stuff like, you know, all I need is God. I contend with that every time I hear that. I don't even like worship songs that kind of lean in that direction. All I need is God. No. God himself has said you need others too. God himself has said it's better for man not to be alone. So let's pay attention to what God says instead of saying some kind of flowery thing there that sounds wonderful but isn't really true. He says you need others. And sometimes we don't understand how powerful that need is and how powerful that coming together in his name is. In 1 Peter 2:10 it says, who were once not a people, but are now the people of God. When you received Christ, when you became a part of Christ, you became a part of Christ's bride. You became a part of the church. You became a part of the family of God. You were once not a people. Now you're a people who've obtained mercy. You hadn't, but now you have. And he says also in Hosea, this is in Romans 9, I will call them my people. My people. The word church is the word ekklesia. And if you break it down in the Greek, it literally means the people who are called out by God. God has a people. You were not my people, and her beloved who was not my beloved. Now we're his people, and we're his beloved. The verse in Hosea 2:23, then I'll sow her for myself in the earth, and I will have mercy on her who had not obtained mercy. Then I'll say to those who were not my people, you are my people. And they shall say, you are my God. This is powerful. This is powerful. The teachers of the law come to Jesus one day and they try to trap him, right? They ask him this question. They say, Jesus, what's the most important commandment? And I don't know if you remember Jesus' answer or not, but you should. You should keep that in the forefront of your heart and mind. Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and being. And the second is like it. Or, you know, that can be translated, and the second is equal to it. Sometimes we don't realize the importance of that second commandment. We kind of get, you know, yeah, I love God. Let me just say, and this is so important, you can't love God without being a part of his people. Augustine, the the bishop of the church of Hippo in the 600s and one of the great thinkers of the church would put it this way: you can't love Christ without loving his bride. So if somebody says to me, you know, Pastor Jeff, I really love you, but boy, I can't stand that woman you're married to, I can just tell you they're probably not going to be, we're not going to probably be very good friends. Probably not going to get along very well. You know what I always say? Hey, if you don't like me, that might be discernment. But if you don't like my wife, you probably have a demon. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we can pray over you for deliverance. But Jesus is saying the two commandments, love God, love your neighbor as yourself. Then Jesus makes this incredible statement. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. The law is the first five books of the Old Testament. The prophets are much of the rest. There's no New Testament at that time. When Jesus refers to this scripture, he's referring to the Old Testament. He's saying the whole Bible hangs on these two commandments. Let me say these two commandments in just a slightly different way. Love God and love people. Everything hangs on that. Let me say it a little different way that maybe sheds a different light. Relationship with God and relationship with people. The reason you need the church so bad is you need not just relationship with God, you need relationship with his people. His people are there to strengthen you, to bless you, to help you. When you're part of a good church, listen, there's people that will come around you. There's people that will champion you. There's people that will pray for you. There's people that will support you and help you. You need both desperately. Let me show you what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation, let all things be done for edification. See, you know what he's saying there? We've used this verse in a lot of different ways over the years, but let me just tell you what he's saying there. If you want to be built up, that's what the word edification means, you're going to be built up by somebody else's song. I was built up by Glenn and Alexis's song today. You're going to be built up by somebody else's revelation. My wife, oftentimes, I mean, beautiful revelations from the Lord. Sometimes others of you, we welcome you to come. If you have something from the Lord, submit it, and we'll consider that opportunity of you sharing it with the body. That's what the body of Christ does. You're going to be built up by somebody else's teaching. But here's the thing, you got to come together to get it. It's not the same over YouTube. It just isn't. It's designed that we be together. It's how we're to live. Now, as we kind of close here, I want to ask you, have you ever heard of the signal trumpets in the Old Testament? A lot of people haven't. Let me show you where they are in Scripture and what they mean and what they're for. Numbers chapter 31, then Moses sent them to war, 1,000 from each tribe, with the holy articles and the signal trumpets in his hand. Signal trumpets, this was an important part of the children of Israel. Numbers 10, and the Lord spoke to Moses saying, make two silver trumpets for yourself. You shall make them of hammered work. You shall use them, listen to this, for calling the congregation and for directing the movement of the camps. Let's skip down to verse 9. When you go to war in your land against the enemy who oppresses you. Anybody have an enemy that's trying to oppress you? Then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets. I like my little trumpet thing there. Anyway, and you will be remembered before the Lord your God, and you'll be saved from your enemies. These signal trumpets were very important. They called the congregation. They direct the movement of the camps. And they, when the people of God were going to war against an enemy who was trying to oppress them, it called them together that they might together have victory. Do you notice the three things as we've been talking here today that come from gathering together as a church? There's three things that we've just talked about. edification, that's the building up of God's people. That happens when we come together and we use our gifts together. Direction, you want the direction of the Lord, the directing of the camp, the directing of the people. It comes together as the people of God come together and seek his heart together. And then third, protection. You want protection over your life? Be a part of the body. Be rooted and grounded. Be planted in God's house. Once again, God loves 3 points like a good preacher, right? Edification, direction, and protection. Have you ever noticed who it is that the enemy goes after? It's always the one who's away from the herd, away from the pack, the straggler out there on the edge, the one who's isolated, the one who's alone. The enemy is really good at picking that one off. Listen, if you're out there on the edge, here's what I want you to do. All right? I want you to, excuse me. I want you to move into the middle of the pack. Move into the middle of the herd. Get off the edge. Get into the middle of the group. Get surrounded by God's people so God's people can protect you and bless you. We so desperately need each other, and we don't realize this at times. Now that we've talked about gathering, let's talk about one more thing here as we close today. Because one thing to be gathered, it's another thing to be assembled. So I'm thankful for our wonderful children's minister, Miss Janine. She does a great job with our kids. And I asked her today, I said, I need a little something for my sermon. And she was more than willing to provide for me. So what if I were to say to you, hey, you want to come see my new truck? And took you into my garage and I say, check out my new truck. I love it. Over there's the steering wheel. Over here's the motor. Over there's the seats. Over here's the wheels. And over here's the brakes. What do you think about my new truck? You'll look at me and you'll say, wow, pretty impressive, Pastor Jeff, but you do realize it's not assembled. As nice as it may be, it's not going anywhere. You can't get in it. You can't start it up. It won't move. Oh, yeah, you're right. Kind of like bricks or like Duplos or like Legos. I'm a Lego fan, but I thought I'd use something that was a little bigger that you could see a little easier here. So, you know, if you just have a bunch of pieces and they're just kind of in a pile, I mean, you know, it's interesting, right? But doesn't really do much. They're, you know, each piece is maybe beautiful and each piece has, you know, integrity and each piece is strong and, you know, each piece is made by somebody that cared for it. But that's just being gathered. The Bible talks about being assembled. It's pretty cool what happens when we take the time and we assemble. Suddenly that pile of bricks that really wasn't very helpful or useful becomes something strong and sturdy that you can come into and find shelter within. How many of you are getting what I'm saying here this morning? Now, as we close today, you know, some of you are thinking, yeah, Pastor Jeff, this is really good. I love all that Old Testament stuff you used today. But what about the New Testament? Does the New Testament encourage this? Does the New Testament really say we should be assembled? Does the New Testament? Oh, yeah. I can't wait to end with this one. In fact, this is maybe the one you've heard most of all, right? But I've saved it to the end because it's just that good. Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as is the manner of some. In other words, the manner of the church, the tradition of the church, the what's powerful about the church, what the church does. but exhorting one another. And listen to these words. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Let me say it this way. And this is why I preach this with such passion and conviction, folks. Church attendance, as we get closer to the end time. How many of you know we're a day closer? Church attendance should not decrease. It should increase. That's what the Bible says. Heard a great story about a family who had a precious 8-year-old daughter with a very serious disease. They lived in a rural community and they had to go to a big city for a special hospital for treatment for their little girl. And they got word from the doctor that, you know what, go enjoy this weekend with her because it may be one of the last you have with her. She doesn't have much longer to live. Then bring her back. And we'll do our best to try to prolong her life. That weekend in this big city they'd not been to before, they had heard of a well-known church there, and they decided as a way to use part of their weekend, they'd take their little girl and they'd go and they'd worship. And they went to this church, and there was a powerful time of worship and ministry. And God's presence was moving there. God's presence was there. God's people were gathered, and God's power was flowing. When they took her back to the hospital and they did some further tests, they came back in and they said, we don't know what happened, but your daughter no longer has this disease. And it's a true story. We don't even know what happened, the medical people said. I'll tell you what happened. His presence and his power through the people of God came together and his power was released in that little girl's life. We need to be together. Would you bow your heads? Close your eyes. Lord, I pray you'd minister to each heart today through your precious and powerful Holy Spirit. You'd remind us in these days that, Lord, we really need each other, that the church is a gathering church, that in our midst, Lord, when we come together, your presence is there. Your power is released through your people. Build your church here at New Song and across this city, Lord. There's many great churches in this city. I pray your blessing on every one of them that preaches and proclaims your word and that honors you as Lord. God bless them. May every church in this city that's preaching the gospel be filled to overflowing in the days ahead. May we not even have enough room to seat all the people that are coming to find you in your gathering. God, have your way. Have your way. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Would you stand with me today? I want to thank you for coming. Can you give the Lord praise today? Amen. Lord, go with us. Help us to realize we are your church, whether we're here together or out there in the harvest field of this world, and we're to shine your light wherever we go. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a great week.